Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. First, ask forgiveness. I hope y'all know that this morning I did not intentionally not wear my robe. I was just so busy getting things done that I walked out and went to worship and went, oops. So I can still preach without it, right? Okay. Anyways, today on the day of Christian unity, I want to start with the good classic cartoon, The Peanuts. And I'm really excited because here's this decade-old comic coming out of Charles Schulz, and here it's getting to be revived with the new movie that came out that my kids, they love it now because it came out in the movies and we could see it in the drive-in, and so all of a sudden Charlie Brown and Snoopy mean something to them, where before we would go to Knott's Berry Farm and they could care less about the characters and the peanut stuff because they really didn't get it. But here he's getting to come back to light. But here in this comic strip that I want to bring up, Linus, one of the great characters, is sitting down and watching television. And his sister Lucy, all right, personality of Lucy, she is an extremely strong woman, right? Extremely strong-willed that she's going to work to get what she wants, and it doesn't really matter who's in the way. But so here comes Lucy into the room, and she says, I get to pick what we're watching on TV. And Linus looks at her and he says, I got here first. What makes you think you would get to pick? And she says, you see these, when they come together, they're awfully persuasive. Linus responds, what would you like to watch, Lucy? And then in the next little box, he looks down at his and he says, man, guys, why can't you get it together like hers? These five individual fingers, they're all unique in their own way. They each have their own name. They have their purposes in life that they are. But great things happen when they work together and become one, which is the illustration that I bring as we come to our Sunday of Christian unity, of how we celebrate our united being in Christ. And I bring us this morning to 1 Peter. Sorry about that. We might have a whole nother sermon if I accidentally went to 2 Peter. But we go to 1 Peter, and here's Peter who has a really difficult task at hand, doesn't he? I mean, he is trying to build a church, and not just any church, but he's really trying to build a church from scratch. I mean, Jesus was gaining believers, he was gaining followers, but he wasn't really building a church. He was building a movement. And then he tells Peter, right, you're the rock that the church is going to be built on. You get to build the first church. But here, Peter, what does he have to do? But he has to build a church on the name and reputation of somebody who is gone, right? Okay? Could you imagine if I came in here and I was trying to build the ministry on the name of the previous pastor who had passed away? That'd be a pretty difficult task to try to do their ministry with me being somebody completely different. But here's what Peter's trying to do. He's trying to build a church on who Jesus was and the proclamation of his witness. But he's trying to do it from a fully human stance. I mean, because that was the incredible thing about Jesus, right? He was fully human, but he was also fully God, and it fully showed in what he did and how he lived and how people just flocked to him and fell in love with him when they heard him speak, when they were just present with him. Well, Peter doesn't have all of that about him. Obviously, he's got something in that DNA that allows him to be who he is, that allows Jesus to pick him as the one that would build the church. But here he's trying to build a church off of Jesus, who is now gone. Okay? This is a challenge. And in the meantime, he's being persecuted for what he's trying to do because nobody wants this new church to be built that has any kind of power, either politically or religiously. So here's Peter trying to build this church, and here we get into his letter. In the second chapter, and if I back up from what Liam read, and I start with verse 4, listen to these words of Peter. I find this very powerful, my friends. As you come to him, being Christ, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Okay? If we establish who Jesus is, chosen, precious, Son of God, right? You also, like living stones, are being built into spiritual houses to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do you see what he did there? You know, he's building this church off the reputation of Christ and who Christ is and people believing in him as the Son of God that he truly was. And he says, this is what's incredible about Jesus. He is the living stone. He is the chosen one of God. He is the mightiest of all mighty. And then he looks at the people and he says, and you are too. You are God's chosen. You are God's royal priesthood, okay? I mean, think about who the priests were. These were people specifically chosen and intentionally set apart to be in a closer relationship with God so that they could intercede between the everyday people and God in the work that they did. They were seen as holier. They were seen as better. They were seen as greater, okay? And now Peter is saying, not only are you like Jesus in being God's chosen, but you're the priesthood. You are the ones who get to be set aside. You are the ones that get to have this special relationship with God. You are the ones that get access to him when nobody else does. You get to step in to that role. But it gets even stronger as we go into the passage that Liam read. When we skip down to verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's just driving it home. Remember this. This is who you are. It's important for you to hear the words. You're chosen. You're the priesthood. You're a holy nation. Now, I love this. God's special possession, okay? Have you ever had that possession of yours? Something that's just above everything else that you've had that is what makes you the most excited to have it. I don't know if it was a toy growing up. I don't know if it was is a piece of jewelry that you were given. It might be a car. It might be a piece of technology. But there's something that this is what you give the greatest value. This is the thing you hold the closest. This is the thing that you want people to see and to be jealous that you have, but keep your hands off it, right? Because this is mine. This is my special possession, okay? It's like my dogs with their toys. Certain toys, you don't go near them when they have it because that one's set aside, that's just theirs, and your hand might go away if you get near it. Not to that extent. They're very sweet dogs. But we have these things in life. And Peter is saying, that is what you are to God. God's most special possession. Not just chosen, not just set apart, but you are the thing that God has the most pride in, the most excitement about. You are the thing that God loves above everything else. Are you getting the picture here of what Peter's trying to say? I mean, he's really trying to give the warmest and fuzziest feeling into the people of what God thinks of them and where God has put them on the priority list in the range of all creation, okay? This is who you are. And now that you are up on the highest of pedestals of what God thinks of you, now Peter says, now there's a reason, okay? God has made you his special possession, continue in verse 9, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He says he's made you his chosen people. He has you as his special possession so that you can sing his praises and be the witness of who he is, right? He doesn't say, I want you to be my possession that I put up on my shelf that gathers dust and nobody sees and I don't get to do anything with. He says, I want you to be the special possession that I get the greatest amount of use out of, that people get to see and go, wow, how amazing is that God? Because this is their special possession. If that's God's special possession, God must be amazing. This is what he says that you're here for. But he continues on. He says, once you were not a people. Now, it kind of has me confused here. When was I not people, okay? Reincarnation, even though it's a fascinating idea to me, the idea of being able to be reincarnated into a lizard that gets to sit on a rock basking in the sun all day is kind of appealing to me. But I believe I've always been human, that this is my first creation. So why is Peter suddenly saying that I was not people at one point? Well, people, he doesn't mean individual human beings. He means people as a collective body. He says, at one point, like those fingers, you were all individuals, out for yourselves, doing your own thing, everybody unique and individual. But then what does he say? But now you are the people of God. He's saying through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, of what he did there, and then what he did on Pentecost with the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says, God took you all as individuals. He took you all in all your uniqueness and wonderful qualities, and he brought you together as one people, one community, linked through him. And he says, that is a wonderful thing. I mean, this is one of the greatest gifts that we get. That we get to be the people of Christ, not just the individuals of Christ. I remember the first time I hosted Japanese exchange students when I was down at the Irvine Church. And Mr. Suzuki, he was like the father of this program. I think he was in his 80s at the first time that I met him. And he proclaimed that he was the only Christian in Shizugawa, in this little fishing village. But the first time they flew over, and he gets off the plane, and he meets me, and then he has to show me his shirt. And he says, look, and it says, in Christ there is no East or West. And Mr. Suzuki, he had about this much English, okay? I have more Tagalog than he had English, okay? That's really saying something, isn't it? But he had about this much English, but he says, this means you and I together. I in Japan, you in the United States, we brother and sister. And that's how we met through that linking. And I'm like, isn't that what Peter's getting to here? That no matter where we live around the world, no matter our culture, no matter our ethnicity, no matter our economics, no matter our theologies, no matter our doctrines, no matter what denomination is on our building, that we are united in Christ as one body. And that is something absolutely amazing. It's something that makes me so honored and proud to be the pastor of this church, that I look around and I see such great diversity in this congregation. Diversity of culture and ethnicity, diversity of ages, diversity of backgrounds and histories, diversities of theologies. This is why I love sitting down in Bible study with you all. Because I get to see all these different theologies and get to get excited that we think differently and we believe differently. But when it comes to the cross, we agree in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and all of those differences just disappear right in that. And we become brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is something amazing. And that is something that when we come together, when we come together like Lucy's fist, we become a pretty persuasive people. A good example comes from a couple years ago, and I know some of you have heard this story recently, but it's the story I had to tell with this. But a couple years ago, my missionary that I was serving in was looking for a service project to do for our annual Great Day of Service that we did out there. And one of the individuals in one of the churches stumbled across a project. You see, there's a city out by us that's really young in its cityhood. And when it was becoming a city, it built three parks for the kids. You know, parks are important for kids. This is something we should have, and they didn't have. And so they built three parks, but very quickly they realized they had a problem, that they had gotten the funding to build these parks, but they had never built in to the city budget a way to maintain these parks. Well, very quickly, these parks ended up closing. Apparently, city budgets don't change once they're set. Is this right, Barry? No? Okay. Well, for them, I guess that was the way. And these parks closed. Well, eventually, they realized something needs to happen. And so the community, the city, passed an additional tax to be able to do maintenance on the parks to keep them up. But the problem still remained that they had this maintenance, but they still didn't have the funding to be able to get the parks back open. It was over $100,000 just for the materials that were needed, let alone the labor. Well, one individual in one of our Methodist congregations said, I think this needs to be our project. I think if we get together as churches, we can come up with the donations and the funding and the people to reopen these parks. And how great would that be if in one day we can reopen all of these parks? Well, we said, we got to do it. We got to do it. That's what we got to do. And what do you know? We got every donation that was needed. We got every plant, every bit of sod, every bit of mulch and sprinkler that was needed. And we put out a call to all the churches and we said, on this day, we're gathering and we're going to get this work done. We told the community, we said, we as United Methodists, we're going to reopen your parks. If you want to come help us, you can. And we had almost 500 volunteers on that day that worked in these three parks, that got thousands of plants planted, that got the sod put down, that got the paths cleared, the weeds up, and those parks got opened, and those kids got to have a place to play, because we got together and said, one church alone couldn't do this, but if all of us get together, we can do this, and we did. And that is the power of us as Christians, that there is no east or west. There is no us and them. There is not your theology, my theology, your church, my church, but that we are all united in Christ, and we get to celebrate being a part of that body, not only being the workers that come together to get the job done, not only getting to be the witnesses of Christ, because that was a big witness of Christ that day. Not because we spouted Jesus' name, but because we acted in Jesus' name. Unity in Christ that says we're not in this alone during the tough times, but we have somebody on our right and somebody on our left that desires to hold our hand and comfort us and pray with us. We are Christ's body. We are blessed to be a part of his family, a chosen people, his special possession, but we are even more blessed that we are the community of Christ. My friends, will you pray with me? God, you are a mighty God. You are a God with an incredible story to tell, a story that begins with nothing, and very quickly has this earth and all that is in it. A God whose story creates man and then breathes your life into them. A story that is filled with your promises. A story that is filled with your faithful. A story that is filled with difficult times, but you who is there through every bit of it. A story that is radically changed when your son came into being and when your son died on the cross and rose to new life. But most importantly, it is not a story that ends with revelation. It is not a story that is only contained in this book, but each one of us is a chapter in that story that is continually written. But we are not just individual chapters, but we are a collective work, united by the binding of your Holy Spirit that draws us together. We give you thanks that we are the body of Christ. We give you thanks that we are your witnesses on this earth, proclaiming your praises for all to hear. May you help us as your body to be quick to love and slow to judge. May you help us as your collected body to be humble in knowing whose we are and that you are greater than all. May we be a collected body that realizes there's greater strength in our numbers than in our divisions. May you help to bind us together, knowing that through your Son and with each other, all things are possible. For it is in the name of your mighty Son, the truly chosen one, that we gather and we pray. Amen.